In his second letter to Timothy, the Apostle Paul writes these words, "I charge you in the presence of God and of Christ Jesus, who is to judge the living and the dead, and by his appearing and by his kingdom, preach the word. Be urgent, in season and out of season. Convince, rebuke, and exhort. Be unfailing in patience and in teaching." This is In Season and Out of Season, a Bible teaching ministry with Father Tom DiLorenzo.
Good day, it's Father Tom, and I am glad to be with you today. Very glad to be with you today. I've been revisiting the book of Nehemiah. Let me tell you who Nehemiah was. Nehemiah was the cupbearer of King Artaxerxes. Well, what does the cupbearer do? I'll tell you. He was the one who tasted the wine before the king. And if it was poisoned, he would die. He was like a secret serviceman, really. And he was a very valuable person in the realm of the kingdom. So, this is what Nehemiah's job is. You know, he protects the king. Because there's always someone that wants to usurp the power. There's always someone that wants to usurp the power. Now, the scripture says in chapter 2, in the month of Nisan, the 20th year of Artaxerxes, when the wine was before him, I took up the wine and gave it to the king, and it was good. There was no poison in it. Now, I had not been sad in the king's presence until now. And the king said to me, "Why is your face sad, seeing you are not sick? This is nothing else but the sadness of the heart." Then I was much afraid. I said to the king, "Let the king live forever. Why should not my face be sad when the city, the place of my fathers, Jerusalem, the sepulchres lie waste, and its gates have been destroyed by fire?" Then the king said to me, "For what do you make your request?" Oh, you know, this makes me laugh, okay? This is a pagan king, all right? This is a pagan king. This pagan king looks on his cupbearer and sees that there is sadness in his heart. He says, "What's wrong with you? You're not sick." He inquires of this man, like, "What's going on in your life?" This is a pagan king. Do we do the same thing in our churches when we see someone whose head is buried? Do we go up to them and ask them, like, "What's wrong? Can I help you? What can I do for you?" Or do we, you know, we get there to the church and we do our thing and leave, you know, like pagans? But here's a pagan king who says, "There's something wrong with you. Can I help you?" Oh, yes. I remember the time that I was at the AAA office. Okay, I was renewing my insurance. Oh, I was having a very difficult day that day, a very difficult day. And a priest who had been a seminary professor of mine came in and he said, "Hi, Tom, how are you?" I said, "I'm really not good today." He said, "Well, have a good day." Walked right away, like right away. Like, you know, drop dead. You know, "Please, I got my own problems. I've got my own problems. You know, have a nice day." Never saw him again. But here's a pagan king. A pagan king who looks upon his cupbearer and knows that there's something wrong. Well, I'm going to tell you, there's so many people that have come to Holy Rosary. And when I see these people and they're downcast, I'll go up to them and, "Can I help you? What's wrong? What can we pray for?" This is just the Christian thing to do. I'm not telling you this is anything extraordinary. This is just a Christian thing to do. "Can I help you?" I remember just recently, okay, it was a late call, like about 11 or 12 o'clock at night. And I didn't want to go downstairs. I was in my pajamas. Somebody had come. I didn't want to go downstairs. And I was kind of, you know, kind of miffed about it, that someone would be disturbing me at this late hour. So I go down, and there's this person, and he's hungry. And my heart melted. My heart melted, okay? It melted. No more was I miffed. No more was I angry, okay? He had no food. He had nothing to eat. He was desolate. Here I am in my pajamas, okay? What right do I have to be miffed when somebody comes to your door at midnight and is hungry? I told you, I melted. I melted. I sat him down. I gave him something to eat. I'm not telling you this is extraordinary. This is not extraordinary. This is just the ordinary thing to do. And, you know, if we say we have the heart of Christ, and this is the ordinary thing to do, this is the ordinary. This is not extraordinary. This is just being who we say that we are, that we say that we belong to Jesus. Oh, yes. Have I missed opportunities? Oh, yeah, I've missed many opportunities. I can't lie to you about that. I've missed opportunities. But I'm going to tell you, people remember these things. Oh, they remember them because you know what? When they've been on the very brink of destruction and someone cares for them, it gives them hope that the God of our fathers, the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, cares about them because we're supposed to be their ambassadors. How many telephone calls do I receive when I sit at my dining room table in the morning? How many telephone calls from desperate people that have no one to pray for them? They get my number. Some of them are from France, some of them from Italy. I don't know how they get my number. That there's somebody who pray for you. Somebody who pray for you. Someone who care for you. I tell you, if the life of Christ lives in us, that the Holy Ghost lives in us, then I'm telling you, then we need to read the scriptures and see what Jesus did. He saw his people were like sheep without a shepherd, and he began to preach and minister to them and gave them bread and fish. I'm tired of hearing about the church and our needs. What about the needs of the people? What about the needs of the lost? What about the needs of the broken? What about the needs of the reprobates? What about the needs? For the Lord Jesus said, I've come to seek and save that which is lost. Are those the people that we're going to be targeting and come home to seek and save that which was lost? The reprobates, yeah. What would we do with the drug addict that came to our church? What would we do? What would we do with a drunk that came to our church? I'll tell you what, we'd throw them out. You can't stay in this church. Rather than pray with them and minister to them. I remember once we were praying in the morning and this young man came addicted with drugs, okay? And we sat him down and prayed with them and prayed with them and prayed with them. As a matter of fact, I don't think he's having a good day during these days, but just before Mass, just on Sunday, there I saw him. I met his mother in the grocery store just a couple of weeks ago. And I asked his mother, how's your son doing? Not doing well. Now, I'm about 2 minutes late for church, okay? And I see the young man. He's not addicted anymore, but he's having a difficult time. His mother told me that. So I called him over by name. You come over here right now. You come over here right now. He did. I said, I'm praying with you right this moment. And I start praying with him. Didn't last long. He said, I almost fell over. He didn't come to church. But you want to know what? He got a touch from God. He got a touch from God. we after those kind of people? Are we after those kind of people, you know? The people that Jesus seeks and looks for? What about the people we're looking for, you know? Are they the ones Jesus looks for?
Those who have lost hope, for our only hope is in Christ Jesus the Lord anyway.
You know what I'm saying?
What have we become in 2,000 years? An organization? Or are we the body of Christ, an organism that cares about those people that nobody else cares about? Oh, I have people that call me up. You know what? I have a young man that calls me up. And, you know, he's paranoid. And you know what? I say to the young man, he calls me almost every day. What does it take for me to say to him, nobody's chasing you and everything's all right? What does it take for me to take 25 seconds to say that to this young man? He said, that makes me feel good and I don't have to worry. Sometimes I fool around with them. I say to the young man, you know what? You know what I said before. When they start chasing me, then you've got to start worrying. And they've not started chasing me anymore yet. And he starts laughing. Like, what does it take? Doesn't take anything. It doesn't take anything. It's like 10 seconds. 10 seconds. That if I could bring this young man a little peace during the day, and he might call me again at the end of the day. And you know, I'm going to tell you the truth, okay? Sometimes when I'm having a hard day, when he calls me, I say, you know, everything's all right, I can't talk to you. But you know what? You know what he'll say to me? Are you all right? Because he knows what it is to suffer. Are you having a bad day? I'll pray for you. You see, he knows what it is to suffer. I always thought that the church would reach out to those people that nobody else wants. Those people that Jesus looked you know, like Peter and James and John and, you know, these poor bums by the Sea of Galilee. I always thought that that's the way the church was. I'm talking all the churches. I'm not only talking Catholic, I'm talking all of them. I always thought that we came to seek and save that which was lost. That's what I always thought. How many people have come to me? You know, smelling like alcohol. And they got a touch from God. Maybe I didn't bring them to Jesus that day, but they got a touch from God when I prayed with them. Well, you know what? The king, a pagan king, Artaxerxes, looked and saw his cup bearer was depressed, and he said, what can I do for you? This is a pagan. This is a pagan. But he valued this young man. He valued him. He didn't see him as a number, or as an envelope, or as someone who gave him money. He valued the young man. Yeah, when those four people came into the church that Sunday, or three people, and you know, they weren't saying anything, and I went up to them and I said, have you come here for prayer? And they said, yes. And that was the man that was healed, that the bone that was missing in his head, that the Lord put it back again. What did it take for me to go up to them and say, are you here for prayer? Like, what did it take? Didn't take long. Didn't take much. You know what? I think that this is the problem. We think about being Christian. You cannot be a Christian unless you're a human being. Do you understand that? And I think that what's lacking in so many places is just humanity. Oh, I know humanity is not enough. because Jesus calls us to himself. But you cannot be a Christian unless you are a human being, that you have a heart for people. You cannot be a Christian unless you feel just a little bit of the pain that the people are feeling. You cannot be a Christian unless you're a human being. And you know what? Humanity is lacking today. I told you, I was in that AAA insurance company. I was having a bad day. And the priest walked in. And he said, "How are you?" And I said, "I'm not good." Have a nice day. Isn't that beautiful? And then he called a brotherhood of priests. You've got to be kidding. You know what? I'll tell you. When my mother died, it wasn't a priest who came to me. It was so hard. How are you? How do you do? What's happening? Not a Catholic, but a Christian man. Caring about someone else, you know what I'm saying? Well, you're a Christian unless you're a human being, unless you care for people. And it's a lost art. My caring just goes so far. And then when Jesus steps in, the miraculous takes place. When we reach out in faith and pray and care. Yes, care. I heard just recently someone, just a child, the child said, "Jesus doesn't listen to me." That struck my heart, okay? That struck my heart. That struck my heart. You hear me? A little boy saying that. Well, I made sure that the next time I saw his mother, I said, "I want to see your son. I want to see that child. I want to be with him. I want to pray with him." The little boy, 5 years old, "Jesus doesn't listen to me. He doesn't hear me." It struck my heart. It doesn't look good for the people coming in. I tell you. So we went in back of Arch Street, and still we're there on Winthrop Square, feeding the poor, praying for the poor. But what would St. Francis say? You know what I'm saying? What would St. Francis say? Francis was the one who looked for the reprobate, who looked for those who couldn't do what they couldn't do. But you see, we've become so sophisticated. So sophisticated. Who cares for those people that nobody cares for? I thought that that's what we were called to do. I thought that those were to be our priority. I've often heard the bishop say, "The poor, the priority of the church." Yeah. Let's bring them in. Let's bring them in and let's see what happens to the poor. Let me tell you a story, because this is kind of a cute little story. I was doing pro-life work in front of Planned Parenthood, okay? And this is when I was in Peabody, Massachusetts. It was, and they hated me. Oh, they hated me. So one day they decided that they would come to my church in Peabody. And they came, you know, mocking Jesus, a woman dressed up on a cross. Well, everybody in the church wanted me dead. Because imagine I brought this riffraff to our church, okay? I remember the pastor when he said to me, "What are we going to do? Look at those people are there because of you." I said, "You know what you need to do? It's a hot day. Go give them some lemonade." And like a little child, he went downstairs, got some cold lemonade, brought it to the people, and they scattered. But they didn't know how to deal with love. They didn't know how to deal with caring. Like, what do you do? Oh, but the people of the church, that's Father Tom, he brought those people. That's because he goes to a portion mills, and they came. They never came again. They never came. You want to know why? They didn't know how to deal with love. Go get them some lemonade, I said. Go get them some lemonade. They scattered. My friends, I'm just going to tell you. Artaxerxes was a pagan king, and he looked into the eyes of Nehemiah and knew there was something wrong. He was a human being. Oh, he was no believer, but a human being. Let me tell you this. You can be the greatest believer in the whole world, but if you're not a human being, you're nothing. If you don't have a heart for people, you're nothing. Because Jesus has a heart for people. Jesus has a heart for the lost. Jesus has a heart for the broken. Jesus has a heart for those who nobody else wants. And you can call yourself Christian. You can call yourself Catholic. You can call yourself anything you want. But I don't know what God called you if you have not a heart for those people that He has a heart for. We can call ourselves anything, but it doesn't make it so. I asked the children the other night that I was in front of, what is a Christian? Is it a person who goes to church? It ain't necessarily so. Is it a person who puts money in the basket? It ain't necessarily so. A Christian is a person who has yielded his or her life to Jesus and has decided they are living no longer for themselves, but for Him. A Christian is a person who has surrendered and continues to surrender their life to the one who gave his life for them. A Christian cares for the reprobate, the needy, the poor, for we have the same spirit in us that raised Jesus from the dead. And I'm not telling you that we have to be perfect at it. I'm the least of all people that are perfect, but that we have to give people a chance. But you know, in that broken person might be the greatest, greatest pearl that the Lord is looking for, to do things that we would never be able to do. And even if that not be so, they are worthy of our love, our prayer, and our caring. You know what? Jesus looked out at the crowds, and they were like sheep without a shepherd. And you want to know what? Some of those very people might have been there on Good Friday, crying out, "Crucify Him." I don't know. But He did it anyway. He did it anyway. It's time for us to kind of look at ourselves and ask the Lord to change us from within and to give us the heart of Jesus Christ. And I'll tell you, when that heart comes, you will feel the pain of people, and you will do something. You will do something in His name. Listen, Jimmy the roofer he'll be doing your roof very, very soon. His telephone number is 617-519-0341. 617-519-0341. You know what? He's good. 617-519-0341. And I need to hear from you, Father Tom. Post Office Box 602, East Boston, Mass. 02128. That's Father Tom, Post Office Box 602, East Boston, Mass. 02128. You're going to see people today. God's going to put them in your path. What are you going to do with them? you're going to walk by them, don't walk by Jesus. God bless you.
This has been In Season and Out of Season with Father Tom DiLorenzo. A tape of this week's series of messages is available to you with a donation when you write to this new address, Father Tom DiLorenzo, P.O. Box 602, East Boston, Mass. 02128. Please make a note of it. And remember that this ministry is supported only by the donations of listeners, so please help as the Lord leads you. That new address again is Father Tom DiLorenzo, P.O. Box 602, East Boston, Mass. 02128. And be sure to listen again next time for In Season and Out of Season.